we all tell ourselves these stories every single day. I can't quit my job because X. Like, well, really, like, let's break that down. Let's look at the facts. And is it a story you're telling yourself, or is it factual? And that begins with becoming self-aware.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, where you get multifamily investing made real. Learn from top players in the real estate investment world as they share their secrets with you and discover proven strategies on apartment investing that actually work. To learn more about Wheelbarrow Profits, visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. Now to your hosts, Jake and Gino.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Senziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Senziano, I'm doing good, bro. How are you?
Always making it happen, big man. Before we get this thing kicked off, let's take a quick timeout to hear from our sponsor. Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply. All right. Today's guest is Jennifer Gluckow. In 2013, Jennifer founded Sales in a New York Minute and shares her passion and strategies for success with businesses worldwide. She's the co-host of the Sell or Die podcast and author of Sales in a New York Minute. So without further ado, Jennifer, welcome to the show.
What's up? I'm glad to be here.
Hey, we are super pumped to have you. We're just getting into it a little bit before the show, but please give us a little bit about your background, how you started Sales in a New York Minute, and what you're doing here today.
Oh, man. Okay, that's a loaded question. So I started selling when I was like five, literally. I would sell everything. I grew up in a family business. My parents printed and manufactured books. And I just thought sales was the coolest thing because I saw my mom sell and I saw my dad sell and I wanted to be in sales too and own a business too. And people would always ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I'd say, I'm going to own my own business. And like, that's not like a thing. Like, people want to be a firefighter, or they want to be a musician, or they want to be a singer. But like, I'm going to be a business owner. And so in what? I have no idea, but I'm going to own my own business. And I have said that my entire life. And so I started selling really young. I would sell bracelets like outside the grocery store. Then I would sell various other things. Eventually sold Cutco knives. I don't know if you've ever used them.
They're all the good people come from Cutco. I'm telling you.
So with sales people, I actually look for vector marketing, because that's what it's called, on LinkedIn. I do searches for vector marketing because I want people who have sold Cutco knives, because Cutco gives great training. And they did not pay me to say that, although they should. And then I went to college in the Midwest, Washington University in St. Louis, and had various jobs throughout my career, my college career, so to speak. And eventually was selling IT services on campus to the departments on campus, and said, wait, this is crazy. Our the money we can make is limited because we can only sell on campus. Why can't we sell off campus? Our students are good enough. And so we started selling web design services to local businesses. Then we started selling our IT hosting services to local businesses, and it was a huge expansion. It was really cool. And then came back to New York, worked at an educational software company for 6.5 years, started out as the executive assistant. Only requirement to my recruiter at the time was I want to work for smart people with a place where I can grow. That was my only requirement. He had never heard that before. Like, people want a certain amount of money. They want, you know, a certain what title, whatever. I was like, smart people where I can grow. And then he called me and he's like, I have the perfect position for you. And he did. So I worked for this software company, for educational software company, for 6.5 years. Was the executive assistant, started selling in 20% of my spare time. Ended up selling more than some of the people on the sales team. And the VP of sales was like, okay, you're only doing this 20% of your time. We need 100% of your time. Exactly. So I created my own territory out of like an underserved market, sold to them, got a real territory when I became a salesperson officially on their team, worked my way up to be a sales manager, managed, hired, trained, managed 10 people across the country, then almost 15 people, and then became second in charge of the entire sales division. And by that time, we had sold to News Corp. We had grown from 150 people to 1,500 people. And, you know, I was running a multi-million dollar business and had very, very big responsibility under the age of 30, which was like, to think back on it now, like they trusted me with all this stuff. You know, like I was making P&L guesses, so to speak, okay? Because a lot of our targets and quotas and whatever were often like, well, what do you think we can do? And these things were affecting the stock price. And I'm like, oh my God, how did they let me do this?
Hence, that's why we don't invest in stocks, Jake, right?
Oh, come on, man. She was doing it.
I'm just saying, bro. I mean, they're making shit up. I'm sorry. They're making shit up. You never know, my friend. You know what I mean?
You know, it's so true. That is so the reason why to invest in real estate. I love that.
That would be sold. My
student invests in multiple. I'm gambling on her, though, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And so, you know, after that and we grew and it was a lot of fun and I had all this experience, I realized the one thing I loved doing was putting on the annual meeting, teaching salespeople. I got reviews that this was the best annual meeting in their entire career. And they had been in sales for 25 or 30 years and had been to 25 or 30 of these meetings. And I knew I had something. And so that's when I decided to quit, which was the scariest thing ever, and go out there and teach people how to sell.
So what made it so scary?
Well, I was making pretty good money. And I had, and I had financial security. I had a paycheck. I knew every month I was going to get X and, you know, plus commissions and health insurance and all the things that come along with it. And when you start your own business, you don't get that anymore. It's no guarantee. You have to create that. And so just the taking that leap of faith on myself and on my ability to sell myself, even as a master salesperson, is still scary.
What did you do? What did you do right when you made that decision? Because people are stuck right now because they want to do multifamily. They're at the cusp. They're almost there, but they're not over the top. How did you convince yourself, sell yourself, to take that leap?
I knew that I wrote down the pros and cons. I often find that writing it will help. Mm-hmm. And because it gets the thoughts out of your head. Otherwise, the thoughts are just swarming around your head and sometimes you sense of them. But if you begin to write it down, like, why should I go into multifamily? Why shouldn't I? What could happen if I do? What would happen if I don't? You know, all these things. Then all of a sudden, you begin to create this list. And my list, the pro side, was so far much further along than the con side. And the truth is, if it didn't work out, I could always go get a job again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the job market's going away and I'll never be able to go back. Like the same thing for if you're thinking about going into multifamily, like go take the risk. If you can't take, if you don't succeed at it, which would be hard if you have these guys behind you to not succeed. But like, if you don't succeed at it, you have a fallback plan. And as long as you know what that is, you're okay.
What did you do? You know? What do you think you did wrong? What was your biggest mistake? For me, leaving the job, I didn't have a mentor. I should have gravitated more towards mentorship, and I got it later on, but that was my big mistake and not enough personal development. What would you, looking back, would you like to have done differently?
Okay. So I would have transitioned my business sooner. So when I started, I decided that I would start networking. And I had never really networked before because I didn't need to, or I didn't think I needed to in the past. And so I did a really good job at networking. And, you know, 5 years later, the connections I have made are still friends. They'll be lifelong friends. I'll refer them. They refer me. It's amazing. And I did a really good job at that. And what I realized was in my networking groups, people needed sales help. So I decided, you know, I'm not going to just go with the original business model, which was train large teams across the country. But right now, to make some money, I'm going to do individual coaching. Well, that individual coaching meant that, and this is New York City, right? So that individual coaching meant that sometimes I had an appointment all the way downtown. And then I had to get from that appointment to my next coaching appointment all the way uptown on the other side of the city, which in traffic or commuting time or whatever, it could take an hour. And so what I realized after a year or so of doing that, and I looked back and I'm like, where am I spending my time? I realized I'm spending my time commuting because I'm just going to everybody to try and make this happen. And I'm charging for 1 hour when in fact I'm working 3 hours because I'm working the time it takes me to get there. I'm working the time it takes me to leave there, and I'm doing prep work for them and I'm doing after work for them. So it's like they're only seeing that 1 hour, and that's why I felt like I could only charge for it. And so once I realized that, and I wish I had realized it sooner, but sometimes you need to do silly things, you know, I converted all of my coaching calls to Zoom. And so now I mean, it sounds so simple, right? But for me, it wasn't. I was just in the hamster wheel thick of it.
We live in the hamster wheel. Yeah, you're fine. I want to pivot back for a second because you both of you were talking about leaving the job. And what I heard was betting on yourself. And I just want everyone that's listening right now to just think about this. If you don't take that one opportunity to bet on yourself, someday you're going to be 80 years old and you're going to die. And if you didn't take that chance, do you want to be that person sitting there on your deathbed thinking, if I would have only taken that one shot, whether it was multifamily, whether it was leaving to start the coaching business, whatever it was. And that's, I'm just hearing this great banter between the two of you. Do you want to be that person, or do you want to take the chance? That's all I'm going to say, because I think you brought up such an amazing point.
Well, thanks. I think that people will make every excuse that they can. I have kids. I can't do that. I just got married. I can't do that. But you're always going to keep getting further along where the finances mean even more and more and more. And so the longer you wait, the less of a chance that you have, because you may wait too long. Mm-hmm. And so the point is just do it now.
Yes. Just action.
Do it.
Trump's everything.
So that's why everyone needs a life coach, because they need clarity. And any good coach will give you clarity and make you understand what's important for you. So for me, 5 years ago, what's important for me was to get out of the rat race and become financially free. If I didn't have that clarity and go to coaching school, become a certified coach, I probably would still be doing the same thing, because I'd be making excuses. So everyone on the call, at the end of the call, the first action step is what is important for you. It's not what's important for Jennifer or for Jake or for Gino. What's important for you? And then start writing down those pros and cons. I moved to Florida. So the pros and cons of me was I left my family. I've got an Italian family. I leave my mom up there. I leave my brother up there. That's a big con. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the pro was I'm moving to a warmer state. I'm no sales tax, no sales, the whole nine yards. So that's an excellent strategy. So what's important for you, and just become, have more clarity. That's what I think. Let's talk about the book. We're here talking about the book right now. Why did you write the book, and what do you want people to get out of the book before we jump into it?
So I wrote the book because I wanted to impact as many salespeople and help as many salespeople as I possibly could. And as not just salespeople, but also entrepreneurs who are the CEO seller, who don't even, you know, often think about, like, in order to make this work, it's like our podcast name, Sell or Die. I've got to sell or die, you know, and or my business will die. And so I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my network who I help sell, but also salespeople. And I just wanted to be able to impact and help as many people as I possibly could. And I felt like to get a book out there that would be translated into different languages and be in airports and bookstores and Amazon and everywhere would be the best way to get my words out there that could help people. And so when I wrote the book, I took the strategy that, you could really pick up the book on any page and read a New York Minute lesson you know, in under 2 minutes, really, and get some sort of takeaway.
Can I give you my favorite one before you carry on? Because this is,
yeah,
I picked this up, and one of my favorite ones: approach everything you do with a positive mindset. Shower happy, brush your teeth happy, pee happy, be happy. I'm like all about the Care Bear stare. Like we're in a tough business. We're getting, you know, tenants yelling at us. Everybody hates us, and we're just trying to make them happy. And you need this kind of shit to stay, keep your mind in the game. So thank you for that. Putting that on the gram later today, because that kicks ass.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
No, that's the quote is awesome.
It's hard to do that. That's why you need to read the book, right? That's why you need to read the messages and link that up positive, because tenants will suck the life out of you, as will children, as will everything else. Well,
anything can suck the life out of you if you let it. And the key is not letting it. So the book is broken down into three parts: all about you, all about selling strategies, and then all about like success and life routines that are going to help you be a better person. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to sell in New York and in New York City area, but this book, my point of it is to help you make sales anywhere and to help you be a better person anywhere, because in order to be the best salesperson, first you have to become the best person for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So before you tell me what makes a great salesperson or the training of it, what do you see the biggest mistake that salespeople do out there?
They're too transactional. They're not thinking long-term. They're not thinking relationships. They're not thinking, how can this guy, if I have a 20-year relationship with this guy, what does that mean to me, or gal? What does that mean to me? How can I get referrals from them? How can I get testimonials from them that'll boost my business? Who might they tell that may, you know, bring on another sale, that kind of thing? I think they're thinking now rather than, you know, end of time.
So how do you get out of that mindset? Because unfortunately, you're talking about a commodity. Everyone's looking at a transaction as a commodity. And if you're not an entrepreneur, that's just an easy way to go to that. I need to get paid today. I need to put food on the table today. So if I don't make the sale today, I'm not worrying about tomorrow. So how do you change that mindset? That's a tough one to cross, isn't it?
Yes, it is not an easy one. And it begins with your attitude. It begins with your mentality, your mindset. What do you do in the morning to set yourself up for a foundation of success? How much time in the morning do you invest in yourself? I take an hour every morning to invest in me. I meditate, I read, I do affirmations, I have a vision board that I look at. I work out, I write. You know, I do these things in the morning. By the way, I also drink a big bottle of water, because you wake up dehydrated. But there you go. There's your water. I love it. But you know, I do these things because I know that that's going to set my foundation off right. And I talk about that in the book and the kinds of morning routines that you could have as well. And then I practice attitude, because, you know, it's very easy to get off in the middle of the day. I mean, the silliest things throw us off. There's traffic, there's bad weather, it's cold, it's snowing, it's whatever. But like, you can't control those things. So why let something that you can't control impact your attitude? Like, that's just silly. If you think about it, like, factually, that's just silly. And so to get back to your actual question of how do I not think transactionally? Well, like, put down a piece of paper and maybe write out, what is this client potentially worth to me long term? I'm only thinking right now, but what if I thought about them across the next 25 years? What could that potentially look like? What could that look like with referrals? What could that look like with just their revenue? And then figure out if it's worth arguing about, if it's worth conceding on, you know, whatever you need to do to make it right.
I like that.
Okay, I got one more here. Can I give you one golden nugget? Okay.
Yeah.
So page 126, and this is classic. In selling, no means not right now. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In multifamily investing, it's always no until you get to a yes. So that is so true for anyone out there that you're going to get a deal. They're going to tell you no at first. It's just how the dance goes, okay? You got to have thick skin and stay in there, because every deal, Gino, have we ever been told yes on the first offer?
Not once.
Not once. Every deal. And here's the other thing.
And we've been told no three times and four times, and we still keep going back, and we use logic. We sell with emotion, but we close with logic.
And here's the thing. For all the multifamily investors out there, when you're an investor trying to buy a deal, you're the salesperson, not the broker, not the seller. That's just the market we're in, and that's the truth. So, you know, I like that. It's very relevant to what we're doing. So well done on that one.
you know what happens is people let their own emotion get in the way of going back. Like, oh, he turned me down. He said, no, I better move on to the next one. Well, seriously? Mm-hmm. So what? If you believe that this is going to help them, if you believe in your heart of hearts that you providing them, you know, that you working with them is going to help them profit more, win more, be better, whatever it may be, okay, then you keep going back. Because otherwise, you're being selfish.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
See how I turn that around?
Care Bear stare all day long.
I love that. You know, you were talking a little bit at the beginning about clarity and how you gain that mental clarity and working with the coach and all those things. And I just wanted to add something that's in the book. I have a section on thinking about thinking, because I think most people don't give themselves enough time to actually think. And they get caught up in this hamster wheel, and they get caught up in whatever their routine may be. And so if you're trying to make any sort of major decision, which as entrepreneurs and salespeople, we are making major decisions every day.
It can be stressful too, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. But how much time are we setting aside with ourselves to create focused, dedicated time to think? And so, like, do you have a calendar appointment with yourself every day that's like gen time, where you just, for me, it's gen time, you know, for you, it's Jake and Gino time, but like where you just think. And so that's the perfect opportunity. Like, put that into your morning routine and start with 4 minutes, start with 6 minutes, something small where you're just thinking through decisions rather than just letting life decide for you.
So part of the problem with that is nowadays, people think about that time as being wasted. They could be on the phone, they could be making a sale, they could be doing something else. And it's true. I mean, like, I talk to a lot of people when I coach, they're like, I feel guilty writing an article because I'm not monetizing it right now. I said, but you have to like trick yourself into saying, this is you're building your business, you're building your brand, you're investing in yourself. You're not going to see an immediate return. That instant gratification is what I'm trying to teach my children not to have. It's not going to happen today. It might happen a year from now or 2 years from now. So it's hard to sell that to people, but that's what you got to do. I think that's the most important thing, is it's not now. It's going to be delayed, but it will happen.
So. Yeah. And to consider an investment in yourself is huge.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Sure. So how did you guys meet? How did you and Jeffrey meet and start working together?
So I quit my job and decided I wanted to teach other people sales. And knew that before I wrote this book, Sales in a New York Minute, and before I created my own content, that I needed someone else's content so that I could just go teach and start making money. And I looked at the 6 sales training programs that I had been trained on in the course of my career, and they were like the major programs out there. And I just didn't feel like they were a good fit for me, because I felt like they were really good in the classroom, but then it's not how I was successful as a salesperson real world. So it didn't make sense. And then I started reading Jeffrey's stuff, and it was the week that Twitter started indexing on Google. And so I searched on Google for Jeffrey Gittimer, and it says, we have a tweet that says, we have a live training coming up, get certified to teach Jeffrey's stuff.
Oh,
and I was like, cool. What? Yeah. And like, just think about that, right? Like, now it's so common that all the tweets get indexed on Google. But like, it was literally like the week that they started doing that. And so it happened to appear for me, and the stars were totally aligned. And so we met. Actually, he messaged me on LinkedIn. So I felt really special, and he was like, link me. And I'm like, oh, Jeffrey's asking me to link with him. Okay, cool. And he claims he doesn't really ask many people to link with him, but I don't know about that. And so we met, and that was almost, let's see, that was 2014, March of 2014. And then the rest was history. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to get way more than sales training, you know?
So you have in the book 27 winning sales strategies. Can you share a few of them with us?
Yes. I'm not sure where you're talking about, though.
They're in there somewhere.
Before we get to that one, I just, you know, I'm pulling a few of these out, and then Gino's going to love this one, because Gino's a weekend hater. If you go in, it says, if Mondays are always bad days, then find a new job. one that will help you love Mondays. And I know the G-Dad's on this kick that he's hating on the weekends right now because people are stuck and they're unhappy in what they're doing. And truthfully, it's like most of the time, I don't even know what day it is. It's because I enjoy what I do. You know, I think today's Tuesday, I'm pretty sure of it, but so many people get stuck in this rut of hating the week and living for the weekend. So I think that was a very relevant one as well.
You know, when I was at a company for about a year, and I didn't go into this in the beginning, but for about a year, I hated Mondays. And Sunday night, I would have this like almost panic attack that I had to go back tomorrow. It's like, and it happened every Sunday, and I didn't realize it was a panic attack at the time.
My wife tells me the same things. So it's like you're not enjoying what you're doing.
Right. And I would be in hot and then cold sweats. I mean, it was just so bad just thinking about like, I'm going back. And then I would, and it was nothing against the company. It was me being in my own way of not leaving. Right. And so I would call my mom. I was really close with my mom at the time. And I would get over the bridge and be walking to the office. And I would call my mom and I would say, I'm in hell. I've arrived. Like I hadn't even stepped into the office yet. And that's how I felt, like I've arrived. And every Monday, and I can't even imagine the pain I put her through thinking like, well, you know, my daughter is this miserable. But the ironic part is she would say, you're safe. You have such a great job. They're paying you so much money. It's easy for you. You know, why would you leave? And so when you have someone in your trusted advisor kind of circle who's telling you to stick with what you've got because it's the safe thing, you want to listen. And sometimes it's not just breaking through what you feel is right, but breaking through your trusted advisor circle too, because I knew in my heart of hearts, like I just had to do my own thing, you know, and I was a chicken about it. I quit my job and took another job.
Different mentality.
Company right away.
You know, you know, just a different school of thought and whatnot. And I think it's, you know, things, especially for entrepreneurs, that's not the case. So, you know, parents say this or whatever, and it's just, sometimes you just got to create your own path. What about, I always ask people from a habit perspective, what is your best habit for success? I know you talked a little bit about your morning routine, but I always love to hear folks in terms of what they're doing on the day-to-day that leads to their positive mental attitude and their success.
Sure. So I read something positive every day. Every morning I read something. Today I was literally laughing out loud. Like it was funny and positive. I do that every morning because it's a good reminder for me. I mean, I didn't grow up in a very... New York City is not the most positive environment at all times. Let's just say that. And so I grew up, you know, thinking like, this is how people are. Like they're all pissed off. They're all unfriendly. And I love New Yorkers. I'm not ragging on them. They're just busy. They're not really unfriendly, but I've had to work personally on my attitude because everyone thinks they have a great attitude. And then when something comes along, that's going to test your attitude, most of the time you don't have a great attitude and you let that thing get to you. And so there have been moments in the past, 12 months, 15 months where I've realized like, wow, in the past, I would have gotten really worked up about that. And that would have really set me off. And yeah, it's just sort of a piece of cake now, you know? And so like you realize after working on it for every day for a year or a year and a half that like, okay, I got this thing in the bag, you know, I'll give you an example. And then I know what you're talking about with the 27 winning strategies, by the way. I had like a brain lapse, but I got it. So I was at an event in California last week and it was raining and like everyone told me Laguna Beach is beautiful. You're going to love it. It's so, the sun there is amazing. The beach is unbelievable. You're right on the water. Da, da, da. And it's raining the 1 week a year it rains is the week I'm there. And I'm like, seriously, I freaking love the beach. Like if you know anything about me, like I love the beach and now I'm at a beach and it's raining. Like what? And so I'm like, whatever. I knew in advance it was going to rain. So I brought my funky rain jacket that makes me look like a tin man. okay, because it's like metallic silver, like totally attention getting, whatever. And I'm like, I'm gonna have fun with this. And so it's raining and the event's like a mile away. And normally I would just Uber, and I'm like, you know, I don't even care that it's raining. I'm gonna walk there. I want my steps. I'm gonna walk. So I start walking to the event and I'm on the phone with someone and I realize I've now stepped in mud. And by the way, I'm wearing these like brand new, what I think are really cute boots. And so for like men, if you're listening, you probably don't give a shit if you step in mud. Like for a girl, this is a really big deal.
I wear boots to step in mud.
They're, right, but these are like cute boots, okay? So I step in mud and now I look down at the mud on my boots and it splashes up to my pants. And I'm like, oh man, I'm about to meet 250 people at this networking event that I've never met before that I'm so excited to meet. And I'm literally like covered in mud. And then as I'm looking at my pants, I spill my coffee on my shirt. Okay. So I'm like, literally, I feel like an I Love Lucy episode or something like that. But I'm like, this is crazy, right? And I just had to take a second and laugh at myself. Okay, because if I didn't, I could have gone the angry route and the pissed off route. And I, at the event, right, exactly. And I got to the event and I immediately went to the bathroom and I'm washing off my boots. And there's ladies there and they're being like, oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. You must be so mad. And that's okay. Not a big deal. You know, I'm just like shrugging it off, whatever. And then I fold my shirt over so you can't really see the coffee. And I go have fun. But like, if I had let that get to me, I would have missed out on the opportunity of the entire
day. Doesn't that
come
with growth though? I mean, you grow as a person, you become conscious, you become aware of that. When you were younger, maybe that would have bothered you. So, I mean, growing as a person, becoming aware, and it changes everything, I think, because I was that way years ago. We did a podcast with Hal Elrod.
Yeah.
The morning, right?
Love Hal.
So his whole thing was, I mean, he skirted death a couple times, right? 70% chance of dying. He looked at a 50% chance of living, right?
Yeah.
Picked up his cell phone. He gives himself 5 minutes to bitch and moan about spilling the coffee. And then after that, shut the timer off and get on with life. If we all did that, wow, how different everything would be in life, right? That's just an amazing tip for everybody. Give yourself 5 minutes to bitch and moan and complain. And you're not the only one. Feel sorry for yourself for 5 minutes. And then after that, just move on. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I'm working on that too, but that is a great piece of advice.
But here's the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. And people want that magic pill. Like, well, I've read a positive attitude book, so I want a positive. I want to have a positive attitude now. It's not like that. Like, I am telling you, I have spent at least 10 minutes a day studying attitude for the past however many years, okay? I don't watch negative stuff on TV. I don't even really turn on the TV unless it's with Jeffrey's 9-year-old to watch one of her movies. But, you know, like I practice it every day because you're not going to get great at something overnight. You get great at it by doing it and practicing it every single day.
Mm-hmm. TV takes you backwards.
Oh, yeah.
I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Do you love sales? And if so, why?
Of course I love sales.
No. I love sales. Like I'm in real estate and I love sales, right?
Yeah.
There's people out there, you know, that are in the space that teach it and openly admit that they don't like it, that they teach and they do it. No, this is true. Right.
They might be doing the wrong thing.
I'm just saying, I'd like, you know, it's a real thing. And like, I'm not even, you know, I consider myself a salesperson, you know, at the core, even though I'm a real estate investor. I, you know, personally, I love it. I think it's the lifeblood of business, but now this is a real thing. So that was an honest question.
Wow. Okay. I freaking love sales. Number one, I love helping people. And I don't look at sales as like the sleazy car salesperson kind of thing. I look at it as it gives me an opportunity to provide value with whatever I'm delivering, whether
you're
it's
a problem solver. You're solving, creating solutions. I know.
100%. And so that's number one. Number two, I love meeting people and establishing long-term, and that is a part of selling. And so I get to combine those two things. Wait, I get to help them and I get to have new relationships and friendships and lifelong relationships. I love sales.
What? I get paid to do it too?
Yeah, what? Exactly. This is like icing on the cake.
So no shit. Yeah. My first sales job was a Radio Shack. It was commission sales jobs. Everything up to that, I made $6 an hour doing some kind of grunt work as a kid, right?
Yeah.
I started like crushing commission sales at Radio Shack. And I'm like, they're paying me to talk to people. What the hell? And I'm making three times what I made doing anything else. I was immediately hooked and I couldn't even believe it. So, you know.
Love technology?
Do I love technology? I think my iPhone's great. I'm not the most tech savvy person, but I appreciate what it does for us. And I'm comfortable with my iPhone because I feel like it's safe and I can't screw up too much with it. Yeah, but,
so.
I appreciate what it can do for us and the speed that it lets us go. So like, I like technology that's controlled. I like the Apple products because I can't screw them up too bad. Right. So that's, I like it when it's like idiot proof. Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So what about a book recommendation? We've been talking a lot about studying positive attitude. What's something that you read in the last year or two that you want to recommend to the listeners?
So I read an old book by Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone called Positive Mental Attitude. And it's one of the best books on attitude that I've ever read. I mean, I'm going to read it every year again and again. That's how good it is.
Nice. I don't even know if I know that one. You got
You probably have to Google like our eBay for it. It's old. It's not.
You got like Jay-Z hooking up with Kanye there. You got the heavy hitters bringing it, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'll give you one more book rec if you want it.
Oh, as many as you got. Yeah.
I read a lot. All right. So, I have way too many, but another book that I read recently that I really liked is a book by Richard Dotz, and it's about money manifestation, and it's called Dollars Flow Easily to Me. And for those of you that are scared to leave whatever you're doing because you're scared you're not going to bring in the money, it will help you overcome that. And it changed my entire, I thought I had an okay money mindset. And when I read this book, it changed my entire mindset around money.
G-Dad, what's your money mindset book?
Secrets of the Millionaire Mind.
Is that, which one's that? Is that Harv, right?
That's Harv, yeah. It's just a great message because he punches you in the gut.
I just want to make sure. I didn't know the title. I was like, I know it's T. Harv Eker, but I wasn't sure the title. I was like, yeah.
I wrote it down. I'm going to read it.
No, oh, it's good. Well, we all have financial blueprints, right? I mean, we're all accustomed to being a thousandaire, millionaire, billionaire. Comes to a billionaire. I mean, so he loses money and he'll come back. Henry Ford lost all his money or whatever. He came back and became rich because that was his financial blueprint. And it's all about our thoughts. You know, our thoughts are created by our roots. So you got to work on yourself. I mean, it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
What project are you excited about right now? I know you got the book, you got the podcast, you're out there kicking down doors, making it happen. What else can we expect?
So I just launched a membership site called Cashflow to CEO, and it's all about how to become the CEO of your life and your sales. And I don't tell you what to sell, but I help you get there. And so I help you, you know, create the, it's like my book, but a massive extension from my book. So we go through, there's video lessons and we go through limiting beliefs and overcoming them and attitude, mindset. I give you a core value that I think is fundamental to your success. And every week I launch a new video lesson.
So Gino and I have 16 holding companies for real estate. We have five other businesses that we're involved in, and it's all based around multifamily. And I can tell you that 95% of the game is won up here and all the things that you're talking about. Before we go, what's your take on self-awareness and how important do you think it is?
It's critical. It's
everything.
First step to everything. Like it's so critical, 100%. You need to be aware. You need to be self-aware. And if you're not, you need to take the time to figure out how you can be. It's just so critical.
Yeah, no, it just took me back to some of the stuff that we were talking about earlier. I'm just like, you got to be aware, and it's hard to look down upon yourself and be open-minded and critical of what you're doing. And I know, like in my day-to-day, like I'll even say something or do something. I'm like, shit, I sucked there. I was a bad person. It's like, I want to go back and correct it, but I just try to do better going forward. And it's hard because I continue to make the same stupid mistakes in interpersonal relationships and try to improve upon it. But you just got to keep working. It doesn't come easy. And that all ties into that self-awareness and positive attitude space.
Also, for self-awareness, there's these stories that we tell ourselves. And until you become really self-aware, you don't even realize you're telling yourself a story because you see it as truth. And so, like, for the longest time, I had people in my circle growing up telling me I was a bad writer. I needed to go to writing camp to become a better writer, and I don't know how to write and this kind of stuff. And so I began to believe it myself that I was a bad writer. And then one day I was like, well, I think I have to write blogs for my business. That's how you start to become known. And so how am I going to write these blogs if I'm a bad writer? So I struggled. I mean, a blog article that now would take me 30 minutes took me days, literally days, because I obsessed over everything and got in my own head about it. And then one day I realized, like, I started getting all this feedback about how my words were impacting people and helping people. And one day I was just sitting there and I thought to myself, wait a minute, I'm not such a bad writer. I'm helping people through my words.
This is crazy.
Why have I been telling myself I'm a bad writer?
I know.
And so it was in that moment that I was like, I can write a book. I could be a writer. I'm going to be a writer, you know? And so we all tell ourselves these stories every single day. I can't quit my job because X, like, well, really, like, let's break that down. Let's look at the facts. And is it a story you're telling yourself or is it factual? And that begins with becoming self-aware.
That's great. Wow. That's great.
No, first of all, I want Jennifer's website, email, number. Where can
get a hold of you? I wanted to just say pee happy again. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, man. Yes. Okay. So first of all, the 27 winning strategies that you mentioned are actually not in the book. It's an ebook that I wrote, and you can get that. Yeah, I was like, wait, that's in the book? Where? It's a freebie that you can get. I think it's still free. I'm not sure. 27winningstrategies.com. You can just go there and get that. But you can find me at salesinanewyorkminute.com. It's really easy. And on almost all social media, I'm either my name, Jennifer Gluckow, or Jen in a New York Minute. And it looks like Jen in any minute, because when it's all one word, it looks funny.
And if you're not peeing happy right now, can you get this on Amazon? Can the folks go and get this on Amazon?
You can pee and buy that at the same time.
While
and
you're reading it.
And I will still be fine with that.
That is a score.
I can't multitask. I think you think once. I'm going to pee, stop, and get it on Amazon.
Girls have it easier.
You can pee, read, and be happy, man. I mean, listen, it's like you just got to practice a little bit, all
it's
right?
It's just Sales in a New York Minute. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books.
Mr. Stenziano, any final parting words? I always give the actual content, the next action steps. So what are next action steps for people?
You focus on yourself and you take that time out in the morning and you be selfish. You focus on yourself in the morning. You follow Jennifer's steps. You get on. You follow people like her. You read the blog. You get in your head and you take the time out for yourself, because that's that protection barrier that you're going to need to work up every morning. So when you get out there and you're in NYC and you're trying to pitch somebody on something, they tell you to go fly a kite, you're going to have that layer of protection in there. So you're going to hike it back up. You're going out, you're going to do it again. Okay. Cause that's what it takes. The world will beat you down. And if you don't read books like Jennifer's and practice this stuff, you're not going to be successful. I truly believe that.
Amen. Well, Jennifer, thank you for taking the time to talk to two schmucks like Jake and Gino. We really had a great time today.
This was a lot of fun. I'll talk to you two guys any day.
You have a great day. This is
you too.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Bye.
We trust that you enjoy the Wheelbarrow Profits podcast. Visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. See you next time when Jake and Gino share more of their investing secrets with you.